a young girl that is hopeful of getting a husband, give some time and consideration to what kind of man she would like to spend her life with. And she thinks that she would like for him to be tall and very nice looking and have a sweet smile and have a good income, money in the bank. And someone that she feels like would be a good father if they have children. And she has strong desires that she would meet and be able to find that type of a person. But she also has some serious, real serious desire, and she desires that if in her future there would be a stroke that would attack her body and paralyze her, make her non-ambulatory, that she would be able to have a husband that would still love her and care for her in that kind of a way. Don't know if you remember the case in Florida some time ago where there was a lady that had some very physical disablements and mental also, and she was on a feeding tube. And her husband, while she was yet living, got involved with another woman. And it was his desire that she be removed from the feeding tube. Well, this young girl has a desire that whatever would happen to her physically that would alter what she was when she was married would not change the love and affection and devotion that he would have. Even if she had a skin disease that would cause her face that would be altered to the extent that the beauty that was there would be erased, that he would still love and care for her as greatly as he did when she looked very beautiful. So that is her concern and her desire, that she would have that type of a man to fall in love with that would stay with her regardless to what happened to her in the future. Well, if you fall in love with Jesus, he is one that is rich in mercy. He is one that is patient. He is kind. And he is able to supply your needs. If you fall in love with Jesus, you would never have to worry. If you stay true to him, he will never leave you or forsake you. Maybe you have heard the poem about footprints or read that, how an individual had a dream. And in his dream, he had scenes of his past life come before him. And some of those, in one of them at least, there was a time of trouble. And he observed that there was only one set of footprints at that time. And he questioned, "You promised you'd be with me." I could get it word for word, but I won't do that. But anyway, there was an assurance that came that when there was only one set of footprints, that the Lord was carrying him. He hadn't forsaken him, but he was carrying him at those times of life that was very distressing. So if you fall in love with Jesus, you will have one that regardless to what happens to you physically, emotionally, if you'll stay true to him, he will never forsake you. And this young lady that has had the desires for the different things that she wants in a husband has a desire to have a nice home, a lovely home. Well, if you fall in love with Jesus, he's got a home to take you, if you're true to him, that's out of this world. There is no home, no earthly mansion that can compare with the home that Jesus has for those who will love and serve him. It's out of this world. There have been different writers who have wrote about that home, and they've described it perhaps to the best of their ability, and yet it supersedes all of what they can think and describe. One of those songs is 371. Would you say a few verses of that? Remember now, if you fall in love with Jesus, he has a home that is out of this world. A mansion is waiting in glory. A few verses of that.
A mansion is waiting in glory. Our Savior has come to prepare. A mansion is shining, it's giving. We'll dwell in that city so fair. Oh, home of
peace and love. Not only does he have a home to take us to, he is the only one that has ever died for us. Is anyone in here that anyone's ever just actually laid down their life for you? Jesus did that. If you fall in love with Jesus, you love someone that has loved you enough that they died for you. Take that personally. Died for every one of us, but he died for you. Said he pledged his love and sealed it with his blood. It was not an easy thing. Jesus' mission was a daunting challenging mission that he had. There was pressures that was brought to him that made his soul exceedingly sorrow. Yeah, that is recorded in Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 36th verse. Says, then Jesus with them unto cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Here is Jesus, the one who had been able to command demons to come out of a man, and there was a legion of them. He controlled them. Here was Jesus, the one that was able to speak peace to the water. And it was a calm. He was able to stop a funeral procession of a woman who had lost her son and speak life back into that dead body. He was a power. But yet, at this time, he was sorrowful and heavy. Difficulty. He was feeling the need that I must talk to the Father. And he left those of his closeness there, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There was a cup that he was going to have to drink. If this cup had strychnine in it, what would happen? What happened to those people that drank the Kool-Aid? Killed them. So in the cup that Jesus was going to drink, there was death. There was reproach. Rejection. Shame. Humiliation. That was a cup that he was going to have to drink. And in his flesh he desired an alternate route. Yes. If it's possible, if there's any other way, Father, but yet not my will, but thine be done. One song says, in fervent prayer, he prayed for me. I think that's 152. Would you sing that verse? In fervent prayer, he wrestled there in agony. This is what he was facing. And it was a heavy, heavy time in Jesus' life.
In fervent prayer for you and me, he wrestled there in agony, with drops of sweat, a crimson hue, his brow was wet as with a dew. In tears he knelt with troubled soul, while there he fell,
I have here a report that a doctor made on the type of injuries and what happened through the cruelty of the Roman soldiers to Jesus before he breathed his last and said it was finished. It says, during Jesus' trial and humiliation, we also know that a crown of thorns was planted and placed on his head. In Christ's case, this was done to mock him as being king of the Jews. Some of you have been to Israel and have seen these thorns. They are about an inch and a half to 2 inches long. And they have as sharp, and they are as sharp as an ice pick. The custom was to take a small 3 or 4 foot long reed and slap the thorns on top of the head of the victim in order to drive the thorns into the skull. Those thorns laid upon someone's head and tapped down with a reed were hard enough to penetrate the outer table of the outer bone of the skull. Imagine the bleeding from 300 or 400 punctured wounds in the scalp and around the forehead from these thorns. So before Jesus' crucifixion, his face has been beaten to a pulp. One place it says his visage was marred. He didn't even look like Jesus. No doubt his eyes were swollen shut. His nose is bloody. And I remind you that every pore in his skin has wept and oozed blood. Every visible surface on the good Lord Jesus, I am confident, was covered and caked with dry blood. And his back and his arms and the back of his legs were literally torn to shreds from the scourging. This was the shape Jesus was in before they ever gave him his cross to bear to Calvary. So if you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with someone that went through a lot to bring you a better life. He sealed the pledge of love with his own blood. Amen. Thank God. I know this song was sung prior to the prayer, but for that fountain. Can you sing another verse of two of it? There's a fountain. And then on 206, I believe, there's another song about the fountain. A couple of those, please. This fountain of blood.
There is a fountain.
Came from the veins of our Lord. Sinners clung.
There's a
ever lose its power. Think of it, the precious blood of Jesus, shed for your and my sins. Verse of
the end. There's a fountain of blood that atones for the soul, and it flows from the side of the Lord. Oh, the dear Lamb of God, may be perfectly whole, for I stand on the rock of His word.
God for that flesh, and thank God for the blood. The Christian life will not work effectively without a love for Jesus. You can be a trustee, you can be a deacon, or so-called, you can be a regular church attendant, but if you haven't fallen in love with Jesus, your life isn't going to work right. We have a letter that was written to a church, a congregation. And it had been the church of God as far as... And it's recorded in Revelation. Second chapter. The first part of the chapter, second verse, explains that, and these are Jesus' words, that I know thy works. And they had been going through the mechanics of a congregation. They had been doing different works. But the very vital key thing was not what was motivating them. And that was a fervent love for Jesus. Would that be bad thing to be coming active and yet not having the motivation of love to do it?
Yeah.
Very serious, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He got our Lord's attention. And he had some things to tell them, and it was recorded. It said in the fourth verse, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." So There are numbers of people, perhaps, who are going through the motions.
Yes.
But yet, they are void of the love of God in their heart. What a tragedy. But there was a remedy for that kind of a condition. The remedy was to repent.
Amen.
What a tragedy it is for people to continue on in activities regarding church activities and yet are not doing it out of a love for Jesus.
Amen.
For whatever their motivation may be, yet without that essential love, it is not meeting with the Lord's approval. And what needs to be done is repenting. Sorry that I have not retained the love of God. May God bless everyone tonight. And what a tragedy it is for an individual to go through life and never, ever fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
There are a lot of graves that are holding people that never, ever give their heart and never fell in love with Jesus.
That's right.
I was able to go into a hospital room of a man that was 95 years old. Sister Barbara Campbell's uncle in Pennsylvania. This man had been in one of the World Wars, and he had cheated death on more than one occasion. He was in the hospital with a heart situation. His wife had passed on, lived alone, and we visited with the man. I don't know yet tonight if he's dead or alive. We had the opportunity to have prayer with him, but he did not want salvation. He didn't want to fall in love with Jesus. And as far as I know, if he's still alive, he's never made that decision to fall in love with Jesus. A pattern of neglecting his soul over the years. 95 years old. And yet, he was not ready to fall in love with Jesus. Read about one man, and he felt like all he needed was 15 minutes before he passed. That is awfully selfish, isn't it? To want to wait that long, and just more or less use Jesus for a fire escape. That's not fair. If I remember correctly, this man was in a service not a long time before his end came, and he didn't yield. He left there without getting saved. Wasn't too long after that he was on the job, and there was a circular saw that come down and split his head in two. He didn't have 1 minute, let alone 14 more. He went out into eternity. He's there tonight. Never in his life did he fall in love with Jesus. Some of you know Sister Gertrude Lowndes. She had an aged uncle in California. when I worked in the home out there, he was nice enough to contribute to the home a Kirby vacuum sweeper. Well, I moved from California to Oklahoma, and I probably didn't think of Carl Lowndes for years. I was going to a camp meeting out there, and I talked to Sister Gertrude, and I got his telephone number. And I called his number, but didn't get any response. I was out there at a later time, and the sister and I was in the chapel, and we were going to have prayer. And I spoke of this Carl Lowndes. And the sister called his name in prayer. That was on a Thursday. I flew out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that Saturday I got a call from Sister Gertrude. I didn't get it on my cell, but I called her, and she let me know that this uncle of hers, somebody that usually observed him, hadn't seen him, and on investigation, they found him dead in the bed. It was on Thursday that his name was called in prayer, and Saturday he was gone out into eternity. As far as we know, he left no testimony of ever falling in love with Jesus. A good life, perhaps, maybe considered a good man. But the song says, if the blood hasn't been applied, if the blood has not been applied. If you fall in love with Jesus, you will have the best life possible. Here in this world. And the best is yet to come. To those who will fall in love with Jesus. There was a young man in the Word of God that had answered the call to gospel service. His name was Demas. He had been a companion to Paul. But some way he lost the love for Jesus and started loving the world. And it's recorded in the Word of God that he had forsaken him and there was a love for this present world. A love for Jesus and a love for the world. It cannot coexist. You're going to have to choose one or the other. The love of the world, the enemies got this system in the world. And his system is to destroy your soul. That's his system. In the world there are worldly systems. There's the fashion world. You ever heard of the fashion world? There's the medical world. There's the sports world. They used to call a program on TV the Wide World of Sports. And that covers a broad spectrum. Basketball, football, baseball, tennis, golf, and on and on. There are systems in the world that is after your dollar. That's what those worldly systems are after. Is their dollar. Football teams will scout potential outstanding players because they know that fans like to have winners. So they go to a great deal of trouble to get the players that they think will bring the audience and bring the money in. That's their system. That's what they're after. Well, the enemy's system is to destroy your soul. That's his system. And he can use other of these worldly systems to influence you. The entertainment world. That's a system.
Yes, it is.
They're out for your dollar. But in getting their your dollar, they also can influence your soul.
Amen.
Yes. So, Demas forsook Paul for the present world, for something that attracted him and caused him or was influential in him losing his love for Jesus. So if you have it in your heart tonight, if you've fallen in love with Jesus, guard that.
Yes, amen.
It's precious. Don't let anything or anybody cause that love to evaporate. The scripture says because of an abounding of iniquity, the love of many, or could we say most, would wax cold.
Yeah.
If you have felt your love lessened or waxing cold, may that be an alarm to you. May you not allow that to reach the tipping point where you will totally be void of the love of Jesus. Guard your love. If you have fallen in love with Jesus, guard it. Work on it. Put an effort in to retaining it. Don't allow it to leak out. Don't allow yourself just to go through the motions and the mechanics and being one of the crowd or one of those going along, a casual Christian or just a name only. Guard your love.
Amen.
I tell you, the enemy's out to steal it from you.
That's right.
He's working hard.
Yes,
and he is stealing it. He stole it out of, I don't know how many lives. One person I used to know and be around, we sang together in a group. I was with him here not too long ago. He does not have that experience he had years ago. There was words come out of his mouth that I'd never heard him say before. He goes somewhere else. I haven't seen him in a church service in years. Guard your love.
Yes. Amen.
Love the Lord. May your cry of your heart be like Fanny Crosby's was.
Yes.
Let me love you more and more. Till this leading life is over. Till my soul is lost in love. In the brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel our cleansing power. Thank thy tender love to me. Bind me closer, closer, Lord, to me. If I could do something to help somebody fall in love with Jesus, my ministry would not be in vain. One person. If I could say something that would help you fall in love with him. Read something about how he suffered. My ministry would not be in vain. Falling in love with Jesus. If everyone would, wouldn't this be a different world? Jesus can do more for a person than any human being can ever do. More than a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a child. Jesus can do more for an individual than any other human being can ever do. May God help us. Tonight, do you have a strong fervor? Love motivating you. That you could say, not my will, but thine be done. When it would call you out of your comfort zone. When it called for great sacrifice and discomfort. Like Jesus loved the Father and humanity, that he was able to say, thy will be done.
Amen. Yes.
Sacrifice, love will cause that.
Yes.
Love will motivate. You take a man that is a deadbeat father and don't want to, and has left his offspring and don't want to pay support for their living. They put him in jail. If he loves those children, he's not going to treat them like that. Love will motivate him to get up early in the morning and go toil on a job to bring to them what they need for a living. Maybe sometimes they don't feel like going. Sometimes the pressures on the job are not pleasant. But love will keep him going on. This is what we need, folks, is a love for Jesus.
Amen.
And there's degrees of love. But as Fanny Crosby said, let me love him more and more.
Yes.
Till this fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love in a brighter world above. Say, God bless us. If you don't have that love in your heart tonight for Jesus, you're missing out on something precious. And it's beautiful in action. If you don't have it, if you want it, seek it. Desire it. If everyone had this burning love for Jesus in their heart, this would be a wonderful world and a wonderful congregation and wonderful homes. It just makes a difference. Love, love makes a difference, folks. May God bless us tonight. Our Father, we thank you that we do have love for Jesus.
Yes.
One song says, after Calvary, I'd be anything you would want me to be after Calvary. May Calvary and the love that you've shown there touch and break every heart. And the one song said, when the shock of Calvary's mountain shook my sinful soul. Tonight, we're thankful that you loved us.
Yes.
You loved us when we were sinners. When we were grieving your heart, taking our own way in life, yet there was a love that you had for us. May we return it to you.
Yes.
Lord, tonight we ask you that you would bless everyone in this congregation. that in some way, Lord, they would fall deeper in love with you.
Amen.
That they would be able to abandon selfishness, be willing to go out of their comfort zones because of a love for Jesus. Help us, Lord, to guard our love, that we wouldn't allow anything to harden our hearts and cause our love to wax cold. If there's anyone here tonight in this service that have left some of the love leave out of their heart, touch them tonight, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Help them to want to regain. Help them, and if there's any here tonight that haven't fallen in love with you, may they have that desire. May they feel a drawing and a wooing from you and a touch of your divine love upon their heart that would cause them to want to love Jesus. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.